You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who don't wish to be defined. It's the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show on Trent Radio on Friday night. Martin Bruda here with...
I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
How are you guys today?
Oh, good. I'm doing good. A long day, but I'm in a great mood. So
excellent.
I'm happy. I'm ready to talk about comics with my two best buddies. How can this not be awesome?
Are they coming soon?
Or? Yeah. Oh, come on.
All right.
Okay, I have a question before we start.
Go. Right.
My random nothing to do with comics... I just ran over to the convenience store to grab a pop.
They have like crazy flavors over there.
In the window, there's this new basically cone Kit Kat. The cones.
Ice cream?
Yeah, and it's got a Kit Kat stick shoved down the middle of it.
Okay.
Like, that's amazing.
Would you eat something like that?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I would.
I'm looking at it going.
Yes. In fact, after the show, I am going to go and buy one. So that is on my list of to do things today.
A drumstick, I think that. Yeah.
All right.
Coronets. Anyways. They used to call them coronets in England.
Yeah.
You know, I saw an article in the local news that they're bringing back that a local couple have bought a bunch of old Dickie D bikes, and they're bringing that back this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing back in Peterborough.
That was one of the only ways I got exercise when I was a kid, chasing those guys down.
I thought maybe you were one of those guys.
Nope. Now you got to explain to all the millennials Dickie what a Dickie D is.
What a Dickie D was, it was literally an ice cream man, but not the kind of that kill you in Image Comics.
No.
But it was these kids that would ride on these bicycles with these big freezers in front and sell other kids popsicles and ice cream treats.
Yep.
That's right.
Flashback.
You remember the ghost
oh,
one?
The ghost.
It was purple and it had the gum in it and had like a gum stick. Yeah,
yep.
I used to like that one. And it was really kind of gross.
It was.
It wasn't even tasty, but no. I always wanted one.
Yeah.
And then they did a Pac-Man one too later on that was the same with the gum and it was also gross.
And if you got to it too late in the summer, it was all melted and the eyeballs were all cockeyed and just like bent over.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a vampire one too that had like some kind of like cream with red filling in it or something like that?
That
I remember there was like a vampire popsicle.
My favorite were the Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rockets were
red,
brilliant.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Do they still make those?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I want one of those.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's what we're doing after the show. We're going to go get popsicles.
Okay.
I don't even like popsicles.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess. So, Toronto Comic Con. Toronto Comic Con happened Friday, Saturday, Sunday of last week.
And
we all went.
We were all there.
It was epic.
It was amazing. It was so much fun.
Now, we didn't do the whole thing. We just did Saturday.
Yeah.
But that's because... Honestly, my knees gave out before my wallet did.
Huh. My wallet was done within an hour.
There you go.
Yeah. By 11:30, there were so many people. I was just like, okay, I got to go up and get some fresh air because I'm dying here.
Yeah.
Going into panic mode.
One thing that I loved about this year is, now I know you guys aren't so much into this, but I'm an autograph collector. I've been collecting autographs since I was a teenager. And, I find that a lot of time the autograph lines for shows are so long that I can't meet the guests. Like, I kind of budget it that maybe I can get one autograph because And then I budget it for like the lineup that I think is going to be the shortest, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I thought would happen this. And when I got in there, immediately the door I came in was right by where the autograph lines were. And the autograph lineups were either short or non-existent.
Yeah.
And within my first hour, I budgeted for two celebrities. Within my first hour, I had gotten everybody I wanted and had to go to the bank machine and get more money because I didn't even budget for that. And it was incredible. I actually got to sit and kind of hobnob with some of these people for a little bit. And it was great. The best conversation I had was the guy who played Hodar.
Yeah,
Hodar. Go ahead. Well, he has more of a vocabulary than just Hodar. He's also heavily tattooed, and I thought to myself, why didn't I ever notice that on Game of Thrones? And it's because he was always covered up
so much. Well, I saw his picture, and he had like five, they look like stars maybe? Or
yep, five stars on his face. Yeah.
Yeah, they just made him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, great guy. Great guy. Nice guy.
Chris Ellis and Dan Collins, of course, our other co-host who isn't here today. We were sitting in the food court getting botulism and E. coli from steak tartare that we thought was supposed to be hamburgers. But as we're sitting there eating this defrosted meat in a bun, we were looking across at the celebrities. And what's her name? Buffy. What's Buffy?
Christy Swanson.
She looked lonely. She looked lonely.
All right.
If I didn't have Kuthra Pauly syndrome, I'd probably walk up to her and say something. But
yeah.
The one person I was most excited to meet was Megan Follows from Anne of Green Gables. And I went up to her. And I didn't know who she was. Like, I didn't know there was two women sitting there, and I didn't know which one was Megan Follows.
Yeah.
Because she's not like, you know, she's 50 now, right? So I got the picture and I actually accidentally gave it to the other woman.
Right.
And she was like, oh, well, here you go. And so Megan Follows is there and she goes, hi, hi. And I'm like, hi, my name's Sam. And she's like, yeah. And I go, so, she's like, so who are you here to see? And I'm like, you. And she kind of rolled her eyes like it was like, yeah, right, you're just saying that because it's me. Who are you really here to see? But it was. And also it was because I thought that she'd be one of the people that would have a short line.
Yeah.
And then I did this dumb thing. I was like, so how are you enjoying the new series? And she was, I know. And she was like, I haven't seen it. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's like asking Frank Sinatra what he thought of, like, the Ocean's 11 remakes. You know?
Actually,
well, you never know.
She says, I haven't seen it. I've just been busy. You know, I'm not interested. And I'm like, well, it's really good. It's really good. In fact, it made me rewatch your episode, your series, which it hasn't.
Yeah.
I would like to rewatch hers. My mother has it on VHS.
Yeah.
But I don't have a VHS machine. And I think the fact that I say my mother has it on VHS, you know, I didn't say that to her, because that would have made me look even worse. But you know who I got to talk to, I don't know his name, but the gentleman who plays the chief on in Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got to talk to him for a while, and he was telling me about he wanted to know where I came from, and I said I'm from Peterborough, and he didn't know where that was. He's from Calgary or Alberta or something like that. But he lives in California. He was telling me about the vineyards and how much he likes California and all that stuff. But what really surprised me was how young he was. He's really a young – I think he's younger than me, than all of us.
Yeah.
But, like, they make him look older in the –
yeah.
But, yeah, like, he's a really – he's younger than us.
Eugene Brave Rock.
A great guy. Super, super nice guy. But I was just really taken by – just how baby-faced he was in real life. Like, just really young guy, but super nice. But yeah. It was good.
I hadn't planned on getting any autographs, but I walked by, and the Seth Gilliam, the guy that plays Father Gabriel in The Walking Dead, he had, like, two people. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't have any cash. So I had to go to the bank machine, which you think, oh, you got to wait in line. And I waited a while for one guy. He was trying like five or six different cards. I don't know what he was doing. But I got some money and went back, and he was gone. It's like, ah, oh well, wasn't meant to be.
I had to wait for a while for the guy that played Skinner on X-Files, because there was some guy that wanted to tell him about how much he loved every single episode of X-Files.
In episode 46, you were wearing a black tie, and you made reference to the fact that you have a blue tie at home, and yet we never saw the blue tie. Can you please explain this discrepancy?
Yeah. So, but you know what? Did they do well? Did the guests do well? I don't really know, but I like the fact that the lineups were controlled, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, we mentioned this before, where Toronto Comic Con was one day, and it was in one little room, and it was about the comics. But it really is Fan Expo, mm-hmm. because it's 3 days. There's not as many guests, but I would have to say, let's say 70% of the people, maybe 60, just go there to dress up and walk around and have fun.
Sure.
They're not going for autographs. They're not going to buy comics or T-shirts or vinyl pops.
I'm going to say it. It's Fan Expo Lite without the bullshit.
Well, the one thing that I always find is you get the old-timers that are like, I just want to get comic books. I didn't see any comic books. There was no comic books.
But there are comic books.
Oh, there is tons.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're talking about the old Toronto Comic Con, it was in a smaller room.
Mm-hmm.
It was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So they have just as many comic vendors, but they've added more entertainment value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, if you take your kids and your wife is big into the movies and the TV shows, she's like hanging out with the celebs, you're digging in long boxes, the kids are hanging out with the Lego crew and stuff like this. Like, there's more to do. I don't mm-hmm. see the downside to this.
No, yeah. I find it just manageable. I'm not tired at the end of it. I'm happy.
Well, yeah.
I'm just happy. And I get to see so many people that I know and that I like, both friends on the other sides of the Artist Alley table and then wandering around like guys like us. And I met every Fan Expo, I met people this time that I didn't know last time that I'm now on Facebook with. I'm now on social media with.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you meet more people. And I think with some of the larger conventions, like we talk about Fan Expo, but let's talk about any of the larger ones. I think sometimes with the intensity of the crowd, there's more of a rush, rush, rush. You got to keep going or you're going to get plowed over.
Yeah, but you
don't see that.
You're just talking Fan Expo, though. Like, big show?
Well, I bet you, I've never been to New York or San Diego, but I bet it's very similar.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
New York, San Diego, Fan Expo, top three in North America, right?
Yeah.
As far as volume goes. But if you're talking Hamilton, Ottawa, Niagara Falls, I think they're no bigger, if not slightly smaller than the Toronto Comic Con.
And those are some of my favorite shows.
You know,
those are the size of shows maybe it's just because, hey, you know what? I started doing comic conventions when I was in my mid-20s. I'm now in my mid-40s, okay? Maybe it's just my age. I don't know. Maybe the kids, they can do the 4 days and go all nuts and crazy. I get winded, man. I start to hurt after a while. So maybe it's my age. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm one of the old farts now.
I think I would have been happy if they just widened the aisles a little bit more. Because some of those aisles were just jam-packed.
Yeah, depending on the aisle and stuff like this.
Like, mm-hmm. You can take out the lottery retailer that they had there.
There was a lottery retailer?
I didn't notice that.
It was just beside the guests. I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
That's kind of weird.
Was that like some kind of maybe a charity thing or something?
No, it was just buy your tickets, lottery scratched. Anyways, you know, the telephone companies and, I don't know, there might have been an insurance company there. It's like, what?
Yeah, but those are revenue generators for the show, right? Like, they pay enough to be there. What, to be honest with you, what they should take out, and this is, you know, biases, right? Because we're comic guys, we like comics. Buttons, man. Like who buys buttons?
I like buttons.
Yeah, but how many buttons do you wear
a
year?
He's got 30 on right now.
Yeah, I don't wear.
I find your lack of flair disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, I bought a button.
I
bought a button. I bought a Ghost Cat button.
Yeah, but that's because it was with the comic book.
Well, yeah, that's why.
Like, there was one stand. It was just a guy and a button machine and, like, clippings from magazines and stuff. And he was like, creating these magazine photograph buttons. And I'm like, what?
Huh,
I just don't get the arts and crafty stuff.
Mm, I agree with that. I remember looking for Shane Heron. I was looking for Shane. And I remember going up and down those aisles trying to find him. And all I could see was people selling like jewels and necklaces and prints of Deadpool. And
I get the prints.
Yeah. But it took me, eventually I had to just text him like, hey, I'm looking for you. Where are you?
Yeah, he was right across from Chapter House.
Yeah, I found him eventually. And I had a great visit with him. I hadn't seen him since he did the show here. And he busted my balls about Luann a bit. And,
there you go.
You know what I mean?
But Ricky Lima was his table mate. He was like, right away, I pulled out my little portfolio with my comics in it. And he's like, that's not a cereal box. But that's that very first far left. First aisle of Artist Alley, right, mm-hmm. where the guests were up against the one wall and there were some paid people on the other side. It took me and Chris Ellis 45 minutes to get from one end to the other, only because we stopped and chatted with so many people.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy how many people down that aisle we had, you know. And they were like, I'm talking to one guy, and I get a text message like, turn around. And I turn around, and there's Scott Sawyer, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like people getting us to talk to them that we know from Facebook and stuff and the various interactions and guys I've done reviews for. It wasn't just, you know, us fanboying on people.
It was absolutely fantastic. Like, I really felt, you know what, you go to a show like that, you really feel the sense of community. Mm-hmm. And the larger sense of community. And I really like that, you know. It just... It really feels like a good time with your friends. It's not about buying, spending, making money. It's about reconnecting with your subculture in a huge way. And that's one of the beautiful things about Toronto Comic Con.
Now, as always, I overspent.
Mm. Me too.
And for some reason, I got the key books that I wanted. I found my back issue Spider-Woman 31 that I was looking for $2.
Finally.
Nice.
Finally. You know, not $24.95 global shipping program on eBay. Sorry. Just had a big debate on the book face about global shipping program. Anyways, found a few new books that I didn't know of. I grabbed Christopher Yao's book. I know who Christopher is, sort of.
Was he there?
He didn't have a table. He was sharing a table with Sam Noir once in a while.
Okay.
But he was actually at, what's that online comic place that Davis Dewsbury? I always have to ask this. All new comics.
And you texted them too during the.
Gosh, I'll have to look it up. Yeah. But they had a table.
I didn't know that. I have so many of his books. I've never met him.
And Kevin Boyd was selling some of his stock at that table.
Okay.
All new comics. Jeez, I don't know why that brain farted, but all new comics table. And Christopher was there. So we saw his little Twitter posting about his comics. We walked over to him. And, hey, how you doing? And, you know, we hear you got a book for sale. And so me and Dan grabbed a copy. And other than that, everything was great, and then, of course, I hit that one vendor who's like, oh, I'm looking at the one comic book that they got, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll pick this up. And they're like, oh, actually, if you buy this and this, I'll throw in this, and you can have this, and we'll sell you this, this, and this. And I'm like, $45 later, I got like four trade paperbacks and a comic book, and I'm like, oh!
For $45, that's a good deal.
It's a good deal if they're good books.
Were they good books?
I don't know. I haven't read them yet.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
They're in the pile.
They're in the pile. Mm-hmm. I still have books from last, I'm going to say Toronto Comic Con, might have been Fan Expo, might have been TCAF. It was definitely Toronto Comic Con last year that I still haven't read. I skimmed through them real quick, and I was like, yeah. Like, I'm not going to name names because every creator is trying hard and stuff like this, but these were just no.
Some are good, some are bad. It's a crapshoot, right?
These were just no. Mm-hmm. You know, not my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. But other than that, every single floppy comic that I bought is one that I want to read. Mm-hmm. I got some books from Source Point Press, which is a publisher just on the other side of the border who seems to be doing more and more Canadian stuff, kind of giving certain other Canadian publishers that are misstepping a little bit here or there. I got some competition. Mm-hmm. They had some good books. I brought one here today.
Yeah. What do you got there?
I have not read it yet, but it's called Scavengers. Mm-hmm. It's written by Bob Sally, and It looked really interesting. It's a, what did he say it was? It was a cross between Garbage Men and Walking Dead, or no, it was Sanford and Son in Outer Space. Bow, 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 bow. That's what sold it to me. As soon as he said it was Sanford and Son, I was like, done, I'm getting it. So it looks pretty good. I mean, like, it's really, really well done as far as the publisher goes. But George Acevedo is the artist, and Bob Sally is the writer. So I'm going to dig into that. It looks pretty good. Our friend Jason Clark from An Elegant Weapon podcast, he really, really extols the virtues of Source Point Press a lot. So it was on my radar to pay attention to them on this show, so I grabbed a few books from their store.
That's great.
So we'll see how it goes.
What else you got there?
I got another trade paperback, and again, just haven't read it yet, but it's Scum of the Earth.
That was the name of the band in WKRP in Cincinnati.
There you go.
Remember when they had Scum of the Earth and as the band that they were bringing for the big concert? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had the big banner in the lobby that said, "Welcome, Scum."
Yeah. Now, this is from Action Lab. And I swear to you, the reason why I bought this is because I was standing in front of the guy's table waiting to talk to the person at the next table that was being monopolized by a few people. And I'm like standing there just on the edge of his table, definitely in his zone, but inching towards the other table zone. And he just kind of looks at me and I just kind of look at him and we're like, So, and then it's like, of course, you know, so you make eye contact. So it's like, oh, well, let's see what you got on the table. And you just kind of push the books around a little bit. And then he goes into his spiel a little bit. And this one looked actually pretty good. So I picked it up, but I haven't read it yet. It's from the same guys that do Zombie Tramp.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of just flipping through it. It looks a little sci-fi, post-apocalyptic-y. You know, it's so it looks interesting, but again, haven't had a chance to read it. So,
okay. Well, I brought a couple books from Toronto Fan Expo. Now, the first one I bought, and I couldn't resist this because it's two of my favorite things, subjects.
Right.
It's Ghost Cats. Ghost Cats number one. Oh, I bought number one and number two. There's four issues. It's story by Brian F. H. Clement, and art by Akin Westendorf, and I believe one of the creators lives in Toronto and the other creator lives in Vancouver, and I can't tell you which one lives where, but it's about these cats that are also ghosts,
hence the title.
Ghost Cats. And I mean, you had me a cat, right? You know what I mean? Then you double whammed me with ghosts. So I picked up, there was four issues. I picked up the first two issues as a go. I want to get the other ones. And do you guys mind spoilers on Ghost Cats?
No, we're
all okay. Right. Okay. So anyways, basically it's about these ghost cats that come into the lives of people that are dealing with the deaths of their animals, their pets. So they're kind of like these cats that help people deal with grief. And they're beautiful little stories. There's not a lot of dialogue. It's mainly pictures, but it tells stories within that. And if you want more information on Ghost Cats, there is a ghostcats.ca you can go to. Go check it out. They had buttons and T-shirts. I bought a button. I wish I would have bought a shirt. And I wish I would have bought the other two. The cover to Ghost Cats number four, which I didn't buy, is actually really clever. You know that famous X-Men cover of Wolverine in front of all the wanted posters of the X-Men? So they actually
Days
did
of Future Past.
They did actually a parody of that cover for number four, which I thought was pretty
cool. So why would
you
buy a button and not issue four?
Or three.
Well, they gave me the button for free because I bought, the cat.
So when we were talking about buttons, you didn't actually buy any buttons.
No, but I got a Ghost Cat button. I wore it around the rest of the day. Ooh. You know?
Buttons.
And the other thing I bought, and I know you got this too, and me and Marty Hebbles, right? We got Morris number zero by our good friend Shane Heron.
Shane didn't give me a button.
Well, he didn't have buttons.
Well, no, because the guy beside him at the table beside him was making all the buttons.
So I know I really liked Morris a lot. I looked at the story. I don't know for sure, but it seems to me to be an epilogue of the actual book that's coming out. A lot of unanswered questions, a lot of unanswered relationships. It's just, to me, it's a very captivating teaser of what's to come. Of course, Shane was on the show, how long ago was that? Last year, anyways, talking about Morris. And Morris is basically this Wilford Brimley-esque outlaw who's a total, doesn't look like a total badass, but he really is. And, yeah, and this is sort of his first...
Western. It's a cowboy it's a, Western.
It's a cowboy Western, yeah. I really like
Wilford Brimley with six guns on his hips.
Yeah, and more of a badass. And probably, do you think Morris has diabetes?
Are you attempting to say that Wilford Brimley's not a badass?
Well, he's still alive.
I mean, he's kicked the diabetes.
You know what? We should all go to Niagara Falls and just find out how much of a badass Wilford Brimley is.
That's right. He will be at that show.
Yes, which I plan on attending. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I finally. There's a little bit of a story behind this, and I have to go into it. Way back when, there was a picture of a table last year at the Montreal Comic Con. And on this picture was Chapter House's table. Mm-hmm. And aside from a few other little faux pas on that table that we won't get into.
We won't get into that yet.
There was a poster for a comic, a Chapter House comic called Haven. Now, I consider myself a little bit of a Chapter House fanatic. I had no clue what this was. I'm like, what is this Haven thing? Where is it? Why isn't it announced? Why can't I have a copy? What's going on? And they didn't have the comic book there.
This is the
there.
Kind of thing that kept you up at night, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a comic book there. They just had the poster. And I'm asking everyone, Haven, you know, and I don't know if there was a whole bunch of NDAs being signed or something else was going on because everybody was quiet about it. And then finally somebody said that it's a book by Kevin Parnell and Paris. Oh, gosh, I'm bad with French names. Paris Alien. Does
sure.
that sound right?
Yeah, okay.
Alien.
Yeah, Alien. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yes. Very nice fellow. The publishing history is kind of weird. It's a Chapter House book, but it's not. Hmm. And it's only sold at Paris's tables at cons that he's at. It's not sold online. It's not It's not on the Chapter House tables. So it's almost like these guys paid Chapter House to print off the first issue for a test or something.
Okay.
Or maybe something fell through.
And there's some kind of a deal if they get the trade paperback done, Chapter House is going to publish the trade paperback.
Okay.
Now, this was last year. A lot of stuff has changed at Chapter House, so I don't know what's going on. And I've messaged Paris once or twice and, you know, trying to get him to send it to me online, and he just didn't seem to be interested in that. And finally, I bump into the young lad, and I found him, and it's like, hey, how you doing? And we got the copies of the comic.
That's great.
It's awesome!
You like it, eh?
Oh, my gosh! It is like this post-apocalyptic 7-7... You notice that all these books are post-apocalyptic.
It's big right now.
It's a thing. It's a big... Seventh Samurai kind of Ronin-type book. This is the kind of... Like, this book, to be honest with you, when I first read the Solicitation for Oblivion song, this is the book I was envisioning in my head.
Okay.
Right? This is the story I thought Kirkman was going to tell, but he didn't. So this thing, it's fantastic. That's so great. Hopefully the lads will get enough issues done to get a trade paperback out.
And then we can all read it.
There's an issue one. There's no issue two.
What'd you buy? What's your favorite thing you bought, Chris?
Green Lantern 30.
Oh, you showed me that book at
that
lunch.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was yeah.
Good. I like that.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous book.
Yeah. Other than that, it was just, here's my list.
It looks like it was,
the box.
It's so beautiful. It looks like it just got pulled off the shelves right now.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, maybe pulled off the shelves and under my hands for a few minutes, but, you know.
Yeah.
They don't have any comic books at comic conventions.
No, man.
All they have is girls in dresses. They don't have comic books. What are you talking about? First appearance of The Flash, I saw the...
Oh, there was tons of key issues. Mm-hmm.
Tons of key issues. Batman books left, right, and center. Managed to grab that really nice Green Lantern 33. I found multiple copies of the 1978 Spider-Woman series, issue 31 that I'm missing that I can't find anywhere else in stores.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, the only place I could find it was online, and like I said, they wanted $24 shipping. So there's lots of books there.
Yeah.
There's lots of new books. There's lots of old books.
Our buddy Carlos from Gotham Central, he had a ton of new issues and like special covers, hologram covers, sketch covers, so you could buy a sketch cover, get one of your artist friends to write it. I mean, everything was there.
I was talking to Alex and Steve and Jane from CBA. They were there.
Comic Book Addiction.
And they had books behind in their booth that I've never seen at the actual store.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, you guys actually, where did these books come from? Like, Steve's holding out, man. Steve is holding out.
They had a fantastic $2 section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like you said, some beautiful Golden Age, Silver Age. I saw this one World's Finest Comics that just made me start drooling.
Oh yeah, he had some nice All Star comics there that I was just like, blew my mind. You know, it's like, where are you hiding these things? Or are we going in there and we're spending too much time talking to Victoria than actual looking at the comics?
I think what it is that sort of stuff is his comic convention fodder. If anybody in the store asks him, like, hey, do you have a Spider-Man number one? I'm really looking for Spider-Man number one. He'll pull it out. But I don't think he leaves it at the store and stuff.
Well, no. True that. That makes
sense.
And
Harley Yee was there. He's got, always has a big, huge selection of Golden Age books and stuff. And he had some beautiful treasuries and stuff like this, and I was looking through some of them, and just some beautiful stuff I was thinking of buying, but he sells in US dollars.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So I was just like, what?
Well, thankfully there will be next year, and you can save up your money between here and next year to buy this one of those.
Comic LA Toys had a huge amount of comics there.
Oh, just a ton.
I didn't see their
and they had a huge half price section, so I just sat there for
Comic LA Toys must have brought every single one of their comics to the show.
Really?
So all the $2 books were $2. And then, you know, that little section that's usually completely covered in toys. And, and they're like, oh, if you're looking for something, I'll move my crap out of your way. Go to a grocery store and hold on. Let me move the produce out of the way of the meat so you can buy some sausages. What is that? Get your junk off the comics for Pete's sake. Anyways. That section was all half price, but I think it's half price at the store too.
No, well, it could
sometimes,
but this was a lot bigger selection than what they have at the store. The you know, the Ed's Price books.
Well, yeah, that was the two middle rows.
Oh yeah,
and the outside row and this outside row were $2 books.
Didn't it? Yeah. So I got a bunch of stuff there too.
So did I. Like, we met up with Ken Wheaton.
Yep.
And artist of Popeye and other. Simpsons comics, and he wanted to get a few comic books for his Captain Canuck collection. So I have a short box full of Captain Canuck comics. Yes, I know.
We all have our thing, man.
And whenever I see a Captain Canuck comic in the wild, and it's less than, you know, $5, $6, $7, I usually end up buying it. Well, in that half price bin, I found a whole bunch of priced at $5, so I paid $2.50. Almost every single issue I sold to Ken. For $1.50 or $2. I think I sold them, I don't know what it was, 6 or 7 issues for $20 or something like this. I found all the ones that I gave him and a few extras. So I just replenished my stock. You know.
Ken was he was really happy with those. Like the moment I got the table, he showed them off.
Well, I gave him the nicest ones of each. You know, like, it's my spare set. It's my spare box. I have my CGC collection of Canucks. So I gave him the nicest ones out of each issue that he was missing, and they were all in Mylars and stuff, so that makes everything look all shiny. So yeah, it was good.
Good.
I found lots of stuff. While digging in those $2 bins at Comic LA Toys, I bought, and your jealousy is it's just disturbing.
Well, I don't know what you have there.
You guys
What is it?
It's just, it's ugly.
I can't
the
see
jealousy
it.
I
didn't have my glasses on when you...
I have Webman number one.
What is that?
Webman number one.
I don't know what that is.
Not only do I have Webman number one, I also have Time Warrior number one.
What are these books?
It's Webman.
Okay, yeah.
How they didn't get sued by Marvel, we're not sure, but...
You know me, and I'm just a junkie for, like, weird... one-off books, but this is like a total Spider-Man ripoff. And if you look at the character, he looks almost identical to Jack Kirby's first rendition of Spider-Man.
Oh my God, really?
Because remember, Stanley asked Jack to design Spider-Man, and Jack, he wanted him to do, you know, like a more everyday character, and Jack made him too super heroic with guns on his... Webman number one.
There
is. So somebody ripped off Jack Kirby's original design for Spider-Man, and it's just so... It's so 90s, like the big machine guns and the belts around, the ammo belts around their arms and...
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. this is so dumb. What was this company called? Argosy Comics?
Argosy?
Yeah. Blazing Adventure. No, well, look at that. Wait, look at that. That's...
And still... Better art than an X-Men blue.
Oh, so was there any other exciting stuff happen? Anybody see anything other excitement at?
Somebody fighting with a protester. No, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah. Well, look. Let's have a serious conversation about that. And I mean, I'll be cool. But what I would like to know is, Chris, why don't you tell a story? What happened? Because you were the spectator.
Yeah, well, I had been outside for a while, and I heard this guy.
So people know. So there was these religious folks outside of the with these God loves, God saves.
Yeah, Comic-Cons are evil. You're all going to hell.
Yeah, and this guy on a blowhorn basically trying to get people not to go into the convention. So anyways, you tell.
Well,
the story.
Funny enough that I mean you had gone up by yourself and with Martin and we went off the GO train. So I was just headed back in as you were headed outside.
That's right.
Which I think was...
I was going to go get some... I was hungry, so I had to go get some lunch. And I do believe it was fate as well.
Because I was like, oh, hey, you got to see this protester guy outside. So we go, and this guy's ranting and raving. And I'd been outside for a while, so I've seen people fighting with him.
Yeah.
And playing music and trying to drown him out.
Yeah.
But when we walked by, there was nobody really...
No, not really there.
And Sam just beelines it. I got to go talk to this guy. Oh, man. Did they talk and swear and yell? It got pretty heated.
Yeah. Chris has video.
I have the video. Yeah, short
video. And explain the video. You guys have both seen the video.
Oh, it's just Sam waving his arms and pointing.
Sam has this weird finger pointing thing.
You know when I'm angry when I start pointing the finger.
I can't mimic it. It's like a sideways finger. It's like this.
You know what? It's the Spider-Man. I'm pointing it at him. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like its pinky finger's broken, and you know that when you get this, there it is. You know if you get this finger point of death, like he just starts. I saw the video, but I couldn't make out any words.
Yeah,
so I narrated it myself. It was like, yeah, God loves and Jesus loves and comic books are the work of the saint. You don't know what you're talking about. It was just like all I heard was Nicolas Cage in the back of my head. Sam sounding like Nicolas Cage. There's nothing satanic about comic books.
So you know what? I've thought a lot about what happened, but what my original idea was is I wanted to go talk to this guy and just make him feel stupid, make him feel foolish about what he was doing. And you can't do that. I know. But in my head, in my perfect little world, I was going to go and talk to him calmly and say, hey, you know what? Take this home, man, because you're not changing any minds today. Right?
Within 10 minutes, you had him dressed up as Captain America and he was going inside.
Well, whatever, you know. But what? I've thought a lot about it. And I've thought a lot about what he said to me. And the things he said, and he wasn't really listening to what I was saying anyway.
No, he's had many
but
people.
But this is the thing, is that protest, and I'm based on things that he was talking to me, and also people, like, okay, so I have a friend, his name's Aaron Alford, and he's currently in seminary school to become a priest. And he's one of the biggest Spider-Man fans you will ever meet. When he drives in his little car, he has like a Spider-Man that actually dangles from the...
Rearview mirror?
From the rearview mirror. He's also a huge Star...
I know you've never used a rearview mirror, but that's what it's called.
He also is a huge Star Trek fan, and he's a Twilight Zone fan, and he uses that, actually, in his... to connect with people. He mainly works with street people, like people that are homeless. And...
Hey, Mr. Wino, did you see episode 32 of Star Trek The Next Generation?
No.
When they use a photon cannon, clearly photon cannons were not invented.
This guy... is like, he's probably the most religious guy I know, because he's going to be a priest, for crying out loud. Who do we know in today's day and age decide they're going to be priests, right? This is a guy I went to high school with, and I'm still friends with. I'm following his journey on Facebook right now. Here's the thing. Like, now, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a spiritual person, and I have friends of many different faiths. And those guys out there, they weren't trying to save anybody. It wasn't about Jesus, and it wasn't about a Christian message or any sort of message. All they were was trying to berate and belittle people going in to make them feel superior in some way. They didn't even have a religious message.
Yeah,
it was basically they were saying,
you're all evil, you're all
going. Well, for me, they told me that I was a loser because I was in my 40s and wanting to go to Comic-Con. Grow up. Why are you being a child? Right? They were saying that everybody going into, and you remember, so Chris will tell you, it's like I was calm for quite a while, and then I got more heated. But finally, the guy said something that just made me snap. And I snapped. And Chris,
this is why I say it was fate, because if I hadn't ran into you, you would have walked by him anyways, and you would have got into it.
And what happened is literally Chris, like, he's filming it, and all of a sudden he just puts he puts the camera away, and he's literally pulling this me off this guy before I give him a flying elbow to the face. Because he said he got so tired of listening to me talk sense, he basically said everybody going in here are just unemployed losers on welfare. And I'm like, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, do you have any idea how much money goes into these hobbies? The comics, the costumes, the money that people spend on those costumes. And for whatever reason, that sort of ignorance just made me, it just made me snap.
Your face was quite red.
Yeah. I snapped. And I feel a little foolish, but here's the thing. Is what their message was. It wasn't a religious message. So I want everybody to know that was at Comic-Con going in and did see these guys? That's not what religion's about. And I'm not saying that as someone who is religious. I'm just saying I know enough to know that's not what those guys were.
Yeah.
Their dialect, think about those jocks that you remember in high school that made fun of you for being into comics and being into science fiction. That's literally what their message was. It wasn't religious-based at all.
Straight bullying.
It was straight bullying. And that's kind of what I was trying to tell them. It was just ridiculous. I feel a little foolish going after him, but at the same time, I'm glad that I amused all my buddies and all my friends with that video. But you know what? Like, I hate seeing that kind of stuff.
I think we should post the video on the website.
You can. I'm totally fine with that, because I'm just going, like, I watched that video, and even I kind of, was it the one Davis said something about how animated I was, or something like that? Like, I'm just, and I'm preaching to the preacher. You know, he wasn't a preacher.
That guy was no preacher.
He was no preacher. He was.
It's a good thing I wasn't there, because I wouldn't have pulled you off. I would have egged you on.
Kick him in the shins. Kick him in the shins.
Punch him.
So yeah. So Chris is literally pulling me off this guy.
And, Jesus reads Captain Canuck.
Well, that's what I was telling the guy. I was like, you know what? I'm like, you know, Jesus, he hung out with, like, hookers, and he hung out with beggars and lepers and money collectors. So he was probably hanging out with the nerds and the comic geeks too. You know what I mean? We're just we're lepers in a certain way, you know. But yeah, I'm glad. All I remember is just seeing red and going crazy, and all of a sudden I can hear Chris's calming voice: "Sam, we're done here. Sam, we're done. We're done here." You know what I mean? And he's pulling. Sam, we're done. Man. You're not doing any good, Sam.
And Sam, kick him in the teeth. Kick him in the teeth. Poke his eyes out.
So it was fate, because otherwise, you said too, like, if I had punched that guy, the moment I did that, I would have been charged.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's what they want.
I would have just looked him in the eye and said, "You, sir, are no Frederick Wortham."
Ooh. I was thinking more Jack Chick. But you know what? That's another thing I want to put. One of my favorite things, that we were going back into the convention, and we were going in, and he was going on about St. Patrick's Day and how horrible St. Patrick's Day. He's like, "Well, St. Patrick was a saint, and you just make it into a thing about getting drunk and all acting stupid. Well, Jesus sure would be happy about that." I'm like, oh my God, Jesus had an everlasting keg. He could turn water into wine, my friends. And remember, it says in the Bible that when he, during the Last Supper, a little bit of trivia for you, a little bit of God trivia. When it, during the Last Supper, he gives the wine to all of his pals and says, this is my blood. The wine represented the blood. The bread represented the body. Mm-hmm. Jesus loved his carbs and booze. Okay. So I wanted to say, I'm like, what are you talking about? Jesus would be like, hell yeah, we're going out drinking for St. Patrick's Day. I got the wine. Yeah. It's my blood.
All I know is there was a literal translation error there.
What's that?
Because the Bible, of course, was not written in English. Uh-huh. It's not that the wine was the blood. The wine was the broth. They were making soup. It's the broth, eh? What you got to do is you got to
add a little. And then you take the bread and you dip it
in the... You like the juice, eh?
I'm just sitting there thinking, because I think every convention we see somebody dressed up like Jesus, and he's got the thorns and the blood. I'm thinking, man, if that guy walked by here, it would be nasty.
No, it was what it was, and I'm glad I did it. But at the same time, I'm glad there's video. I'm the thing. Quick thinking getting that video, my friend, because we all had a good chuckle at that.
Martin's like, take a video.
Well, how did that go down? Explain that exchange. Yeah,
I got a text. It's like, Sam's taking on some Mormons.
I'm like, what? What? What's going on?
Sam's about to have a fight with the Jesuit.
I'm like, what? What? Video, man, record this. Record this. I'm not there. I can't make it through this crowd in time. Put it on video. Yeah. Well, you guys are free to, put the video on the line so we can all enjoy me. Basically, I'm sad that there's no actual, I'd like to know what I was saying at that time. But I remember the gist of it was basically like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Condemning this subculture. Like, and I think I said stuff like, I'm really sorry that, you know, you can't find. And I was like, you know what? God created joy. He created creativity. He created happiness. And that's what this is. Yeah. This is just people finding joy, finding community, finding creativity. And like, if God creates everything good, then he created this. He wants this. Like, come on. It's the way you look at it, man. But, and I say that as someone who, as I said, I'm not a religious person, but sometimes with these people, my belief is that whatever your faith is, whatever gets you through the night, that's awesome. As long as you're not a dick about it, you know, and these guys were dicks about it. So I'm like, well, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus. Well, I'll talk to you in those terms, you know, and we can be friends. We can be cool. Well, I can't be friends with those guys. Those are dicks.
You're just picking a fight.
Well, I don't know what I got in my mind. I was, you know, I'm glad I entertained you all, and I'm glad Chris was there to make sure I was not thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of religious, Dark Fang, number 5.
I haven't read it yet.
You haven't read it yet?
No, I have it, but I haven't read it.
Okay, so Dark Fang, right? Uh-huh. About the vampire who's like a vampire and...
underwater vampire.
Well, she's only underwater for a little bit. She hasn't been underwater in like 4 issues.
Okay. It's a good book, though.
But the nemesis, the one that she's fighting, is the Vatican, who is this massive superpower that controls the U.S. government.
Hmm.
So maybe there is a satanic message in comics.
Maybe.
But I've been pondering, like, is this a limited series? Is this continuing? And I noticed for 2 months there was no comics, and I'm like, what's going on? Do I take this off my spreadsheet? I need to know. Like, is this book coming out? Do I have to cancel it? Do I take it off my list? Like, what do I do? Finally, Dark Fang number 5 comes out, and it just basically says, yeah, we're taking a break until July.
Okay, that happens.
Issue 6 is coming out in July, so now I know I don't have to. You will not believe how much of a relief it was to me to find that.
But do you know what they have announced is the end of Kill or Be Killed. Brubaker is bringing it to an end. And I think it's after 20 issues. But I think it's not because of lack of sales. It's one of Image's best-selling comics. It's just, and most highly acclaimed. I think he just had a story to tell after 20 issues, and now we've hit the, you know, we've come to the end of it. I was really shocked to see that was coming to an end. And Birds of Prey is coming to an end and with issue 22.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that shocked me too.
Not really.
Well, I'm not disappointed. I don't really.
Didn't shock me.
I don't like the book very much.
DC's cleaning house. Mm-hmm. They canceled New Teen Titans. They canceled Titans.
Titans is canceled?
They canceled Supergirl. They canceled Super Suns. They canceled.
What's up? I didn't know all this.
Yeah, everything's canceled pretty much.
Okay.
Everything's canceled that has anything to do with Bendis coming back on Superman. So we're going to have the Superman Man of Steel miniseries.
Okay.
Where he kind of reestablishes Superman, and then he's going to relaunch Superman
okay,
action.
Okay, fine, okay.
And maybe a Supergirl book and stuff. Part of that is a revamp of Justice League.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that's being revamped. Ooh. And in the Justice League, if it's not a Superman book, it's a Justice League book. So Supergirl, the Titans are done, all those books.
Well, I don't understand why it affects all that.
Because it all does.
Well, you know what's going to happen? They're going to end up canceling almost every DC book I buy.
Yeah.
That might be a good thing, though.
That won't be a bad thing.
So I mean, they're kind of ramping up for their own version of Fresh Start.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So, you know, it's the two Teen Titans books are being canceled.
See, Titans I really liked. I know you weren't a big fan of it, but
it was okay,
I was solid.
But it wasn't great.
Birds of Prey has been... Green Arrow, is Green Arrow being canceled?
No.
But
Green Arrow, the last issue of Green Arrow... seemed like the end of a series book because it tied up and wrapped up everything in a nice bow.
I haven't read that issue
either.
Had
that little guys riding off on the motorcycle into the sunset feel to it. So it's really prepped for the next arc to start.
But that's great. Then that means that I can actually get rid of all my DC books and just buy all the horror and
until the new versions of those books come out.
I guess. And you know I'm going to get roped into buying them.
Because I seriously think they're going to come out with a new Teen Titans book to replace the two Teen Titans book that disappeared.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the Uncanny Titans Blue and the Astonishing New Teen Titans Red.
It'll be
a cross between the two teams, and there'll be some young guys and some old guys on one, and then they're gonna have Young Justice Force. They're gonna come out.
I just want JSA and Legion of Superheroes. Is that too much to ask?
Apparently, it is. Nothing has been said about that.
I have enjoyed. I did read Terrifics number one, and what's great about that? The only reason I'm buying that is because my favorite Legion of Superheroes character is in it, which is Phantom Girl. And it was great. It was great to catch up with Phantom Girl and those characters. Did you see Gail Simone is doing Plastic Man?
Yes.
And you know where she's taking...
It's just a mini.
But you know where she's taking her inspiration from? Mm. The old cartoon from the 70s. Yeah. Do you remember like how Plastic Man had the girlfriend?
Yes.
She's in it.
Oh, gosh.
I think that made me want to buy it. I'm not even a Plas fan. I love Gail
Simone.
So
basically, you're talking about Jerry Lewis in a rubber costume.
Hmm.
Is that what?
No.
Please tell me the baby isn't coming back.
The baby's not coming back.
Thank the stars.
I thought you liked Jerry Lewis.
Well, depends which Jerry Lewis.
I don't like Jerry Lewis at all.
Angry Marathon Jerry Lewis? I love him.
The one, he keeps getting older, but his hair keeps getting blacker. And you know why? It's because they took all that charity money and they spent it on his hair dye. And pie.
And pie.
Did you see how fat he got at the end? Well, it says a room full of guys that like pie.
Over average, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys read the New Mutants?
I haven't read it.
I got two pages in and I stopped.
It wasn't what I thought. I didn't mind it. Did you see the part about the cat? That made me laugh.
I like I said, I just got two pages into it.
What part about the cat?
Well,
does the cat get hurt?
No.
Okay.
Well, it depends how you look at it. Strong guy, I don't know, somehow, you know, strong guy, the big guy.
Yeah. We all know who strong guy
they're
is.
All walking through this, the team's walking through this little village, and somewhere strong guy found this kitten. So he's holding this little, he's huge, and this little kitten's right. So they're all debating whether he can keep it or not. And I guess, I call her Magic, Ileana.
Yeah.
I think she's the leader of the team. And everyone else is debating whether he can keep this kitten. Finally, she stops and she takes the kitten. She opens a portal to the demon dimension. I don't know what anyways. She basically dips the kitten into the portal and pulls out a full-grown cat. Because I guess that's how her story goes, right? Back when the X-Men, she was a little girl. She fell in the portal. They pulled her right back out, and she'd aged like 5 years. Mm-hmm. But she's spent 5 years in anyways.
Yeah.
So. Apparently she has this power now that she can take things and age them, and they weren't as interested in the kitten now that it was a cat. But I just
laughed. But see, hell is where cats come from.
I know.
Yeah, that's why they're so interesting and mysterious.
I just laughed because she just takes the kitten, doesn't say a word, and just opens the portal, dips it in, and pulls out a full-grown cat.
Talking about X-Men books, did you see the solicitation for X-Men Red Annual? Number one.
No.
Oh, I saw the cover. Okay. Arthur Adams.
Yeah, anyways. Now, everything that I've been going on about here on Hey Kids Comics is actually going to be... Remember, I'm like, did I miss something? What's going on? That's all going to be explained in X-Men Annual Number 1, X-Men Red Annual Number 1, which is basically going to be the story that bridges the gap between, Jean Grey being dead and dealing with that crap. And it's like, oh, really? It's the annual. It's not the actual book. Yeah, I guess. But I'm still reading it. And you know what? I really enjoyed X-Men. I enjoyed X-Men Red Number 2 more than X-Men Red Number 1. So, you know what? Yeah, I really enjoyed the second issue. And it's the first X-Men book I've been buying since Bendis left.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So, on that bombshell, we're going to have to wrap it up here for the day. It's been a hoot. It's been great.
Good night show. Good show, guys.
We'll see you guys all next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?